You stand with me and let's turn to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy. Or if you've got your tablets or phone or whatever you use. Amen. We were watching a show last night, or the news last night, and they said, talked about that they are introducing children to cursive writing again. I looked at my wife, I said, kids don't still learn to do cursive writing? She said, no, they've kind of done away with that. Man, the first 12 years of my school appearance, my school was learning how to do writing cursive. I went to school longer than 12 years, but it took 12 years to get my cursive down, you know. But if you saw my writing today, you know I was Pentecostal because you would think I was writing in the Spirit. Amen. And because most folks, you got to have the gift of interpretation to read my writing. Amen. Not really, but anyway. But I'm glad, you know, that's kind of a lost art. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 3. Verse 28. But command Joshua and encourage him. Say, encourage him. And strengthen him. For he shall go over before this people, and he shall cause them to inherit the land which you will see. But command Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him, for he shall go over before this people, and he shall cause them to inherit the land which you shall see. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and we praise you and we magnify your holy and precious name. We thank you, Lord, for your Spirit. We felt in such a wonderful way all day today, and Lord, what we feel tonight. God, I pray that our hearts and our minds and our spirits will be lifted up and encouraged in Jesus' name. God, I believe today that is your desire, both from this morning and especially tonight, God, to bring your people out of discouragement and lead them into a place of encouragement so we can move forward in the things that you would have us to move forward in. God, I pray that you'll touch each and every person listening to the sound of our voice. Lord, anoint me, your servant, to speak only that which you would have us to speak by the power and the anointing of your Holy Spirit. And we give you the praise. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for coming tonight. Thank you for standing. I want us to talk tonight about the power of encouragement. I preached out of this passage about the power of encouragement before. But this is one of the greatest examples of the power of encouragement, what encouragement can do in the life of an individual. This morning we talked about how powerful discouragement can be. Anybody can discourage somebody, and all of us at times have been discouraged. But there is an opposite just about to everything, and the power of encouragement, say encouragement, can be awesome, especially when it's empowered by the Spirit of God and through the people of God. Can you say amen? The word encourage here in this passage means to strengthen, to support, to help, to aid, to undergird, to fasten, to be strong, to cure. I like that definition, to cure, to help, to fortify. Something you and I could all use more of, but also we can put to use more for others, is the power of encouragement. We all know how powerful discouragement can be. The word discouragement literally means to deprive of courage or confidence. To deprive of courage or confidence. But encouragement is far more powerful than discouragement ever thought about being. I'm going to say that again. Encouragement is far more powerful than discouragement ever thought about being. Encouragement is awesome. Chuck Swindoll made this statement. Think about it. It has the capacity to lift a man's or woman's shoulders, to spark the flicker of a smile on the face of a discouraged child, to breathe fresh fire into the fading embers of a smoldering dream. Encouragement is far more powerful than that. It can literally change someone's destiny and outlook on life. If we will, under the guidance and the leadership of the Holy Ghost and by the power of God's word, learn to encourage one another and encourage others as well. Can you say amen? Amen. When you encourage someone else, it strengthens them. When you encourage someone else, it gives them support. When you encourage someone else, it builds their confidence so that they are able to get out and do extraordinary things. When you encourage someone, it brings them out of their pit of disappointment, depression, and discouragement. Friends, I'm going to tell you, the power of encouragement can do tremendous things. Can you say amen? You and I are more apt to put all that we can into something when we have been encouraged instead of discouraged. Anybody ever work for some discouraging folks? Hello. Come on. Boy, so, y'all are a lively bunch tonight. Amen. Honey, I'm preaching this to you and I. We'll just encourage one another. Amen. Have you ever worked? I had the privilege of working for a couple of guys. I've shared this in the past. I worked for some guys. They meant well, but they just did not know how to encourage. They would try to motivate you by discouraging. Worked for one particular guy, did that most of the time I worked for him. Nobody could do anything right for him but me. But how he showed me that I was doing that was very discouraging at times. Can you say amen? I mean, if I wasn't a Christian, I would have killed him a long time ago and been in jail. But thank God that didn't happen. Amen. But I want you to understand some encouragement is extremely, extremely powerful. Encouragement, according to Webster's, means to encourage, to inspire with confidence, to inspire with courage, to inspire their spirit and hope, to spur on, to lead them to a higher level. Can you say amen? And tonight we are talking about Joshua. God spoke to Moses and he says, Moses, I want you to encourage Joshua. Why particularly Joshua? What was it about Joshua that needed encouragement? What did Joshua need encouragement? It was not so much for where Joshua was at. The encouragement that God told Moses to encourage him with was for the task that lay ahead for Joshua. Joshua had been a faithful servant of Moses for over 40 years. Joshua had walked with Moses through many, many difficult times. And now God is telling Moses, I want you to encourage Joshua. Why? Because Joshua was going to be the next leader of Israel. How would you like to follow in the footsteps of somebody like Moses? How would you like to follow? I mean, I'd be kind of nervous following in the footsteps behind somebody that can throw his rod down and it become a snake, and or part the Red Sea, or have manna come down every morning. I'd be kind of nervous of following somebody of the leadership caliber of Moses. But God says, Joshua, this is how you're going to do it. Moses, this is how you're going to bring the next leader in. You are going to encourage him. Can you say amen? Joshua is going to be the next leader of Israel. He's going to have to make all the decisions. He's going to have to lead them to the promised land. He was going to be responsible for their welfare. And God tells Moses, I want you to encourage him for the task that lies ahead. Numbers chapter 27, beginning of verse 18. And the Lord said to Moses, take Joshua, the son of Nun, with you, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hand on him. Set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation, and inaugurate him in their sight. And you shall give some of your authority to him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. He shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall inquire before the Lord for him by the judgment of the Urim. At his word they shall go out, at his word they shall come in, he and all the children of Israel with him, all the congregation. In other words, God says you are going to take your authority, told Moses, you're going to take your authority and you're going to place it on Joshua, and you're going to do this before Eleazar the priest, you're going to do it for the whole congregation. What's he doing? He's showing the nation of Israel, this is going to be your next leader. And in process, he is encouraging him for the task ahead. Can you say amen? Amen? It was a tremendous task. God said, therefore, encourage him. And Moses told the people to encourage him. Joshua is getting encouraged on every side. He's getting encouragement from his leader, but the people he led were going to encourage him as well. Again, Moses encouraged him. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 7 through 8. Then Moses called Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of good courage. Say good courage. For you must go with this people to the land which the Lord your God has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed. He tells him two things. I want you to be strong and be of good courage. Don't be discouraged. He said, God is going to be with you. He said, don't be afraid and don't be dismayed. That word dismayed literally comes into play in the word in the Hebrew language, which means discouraged. Don't let discouragement get a hold of your life. He said, you need to be strong and of what? Good courage. Moses is encouraging Joshua. There are several times before Joshua actually takes the lead that the Lord speaks to Moses and says, I want you to encourage him. Moses is encouraging Joshua several times. Here's another someone that encouraged Joshua. How would you like for God to encourage you sometimes? God encouraged Joshua. Now this is kind of a long text here, so just hang in there with me, but I want us to see some things. Joshua chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness in this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do all the to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. In 9 verses, there are over 12 statements where God is being tremendously encouraging in what he's telling Joshua. God is not just building up his pride, he's building up his spiritual strength. He is giving him encouragement for when? Right where he's at? No, for the task that lies ahead. Can you say amen? Moses is already encouraging, but God is encouraging him way more than Moses ever thought about. Can you say amen? Joshua, I'm going to be with you. Every place your foot goes is going to you. I'm giving it to you. There's not going to be a man that's going to be able to stand before you. He says, the only thing you've got to do is observe my word and walk in obedience. He says, you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be discouraged, because I'm going to be with you wherever you go. He is giving Joshua a tremendous amount of encouragement. Can you say amen? Can you imagine? Do you think Joshua needed that encouragement? You better believe it. Here's a guy that his spiritual father, Moses had a couple of sons, 2 or 3 sons. But Joshua was probably closer to Moses than Moses' own sons were. Joshua spent more time around Moses. Joshua connected more with Moses on a spiritual level. Moses was Joshua's spiritual father. He was his spiritual mentor. He was his pastor. Can you say amen? He has been walking with him for over 40 years. And all of a sudden, the man who was the spiritual leader in his life is where? He's dead. Can you imagine the grief? Can you imagine the sorrow? And not only now is he feeling that grief and sorrow of the absence of that spiritual father, but now God's saying, look, now you're going to have to take up the mantle that Moses, you're going to have to take up the responsibility that Moses had. You're going to have to lead this people that Moses was leading. You're going to have to do the same thing that he was supposed to do. Joshua, I'm putting that on you. Can you say amen? He's sitting there, he's overwhelmed by that responsibility. How can I do this? How can I measure up to the man by the name of Moses? How can I measure up to my spiritual father? God says, I'll tell you how, because I'm going to encourage you every step of the way. Can you say amen? Amen. There is a power in encouragement. Can you say amen? The people encouraged him. The people encouraged him. Joshua chapter 1, verses 16 through 18. So they answered Joshua, saying, all that you command us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. just as we heeded Moses in all things, so we will heed you. Only the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your command and does not heed your words and all that you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage. Moses has encouraged him. God's encouraging. Now the people are encouraging. They said, just like we heeded Moses in all things, Joshua kind of knew, because Joshua knew sometimes they didn't heed. Hello. Joshua said, well, thanks for nothing on that, you know. Just as we were with Moses, we're going to be with you. And whatever you tell us to do, we're going to do it. Wherever you tell us to go, we're going to go. And I like this part. And whoever rebels against you, we're going to kill him. He said, whoever rebels against you shall be put to death. We're going to kill him. And they said, only be strong and of what? Good courage. Joshua has all this encouragement. He's encouraged on every side. He's strengthened. He's supported. He's aided. He's lifted up. But look what the encouragement released him to do. It released him to cross the Jordan River. It released him to overcome the city of Jericho. It released him to do battle and win and take possession of the promised land. It released him to commit an act of faith where even the sun and the moon stood still for a day. Joshua chapter 10, verses 12 through 19, through 14, excuse me. Then Joshua spoke to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel, and he said in the sight of Israel, sun stand still over Gibeon and moon in the valley of Ajalon. So the sun stood still and the moon stopped till the people had revenge upon their enemies. Is this not written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and did not hasten to go down for about a whole day. And there has been no day like that before or after that the Lord heeded the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. Now you say, well, surely that doesn't mean what it said. Surely there must have been an eclipse. No, astronomers have been able to go back however they've been able to do it. Scientists have gone back and they have recorded this day. They knew this day happened. And you know why it happened? Because a man who had faith in God, he told him, he said, we are doing battle for our enemies. God, you're fighting for us. He said, we need a little bit more daylight to defeat our enemies. Sun stand still, moon stand still. Why could this man have that kind of faith? How was this man able to have that much faith in God? Why? Because somewhere, somebody had been encouraging him along the way. He had not been discouraged. He had not been put down. He had not been told, you can't do this and you can't do that. You're going to lose every battle. He had been encouraged by God. He'd been encouraged by his leader and his spiritual father. He'd been encouraged by the people that were around him. Can I tell you? And when you are encouraged like that, you can believe God for greater things. Can you say amen? There is power, church, tonight in encouragement. I'm going to tell you something. Somebody said, well, Brother Dawes, I just don't believe it can still happen today. I believe it can. God is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is just looking for somebody to believe him for great things. Can you say amen? He's encouraged on every side. The power of the words of encouragement released Joshua to accomplish all that God had given him to do. A great part of that is because of the power of encouragement. He was able to handle a great task. He was able to have victory in the battle. He was able to have faith to believe God for miracles and inherit the promises of God, all because I truly believe that he had been encouraged. Encouragement is powerful. Encouragement strengthens. Encouragement builds us up. Encouragement encourages its support. It causes us to move in areas with God that we never thought possible. I want us to look at some of the things that the power of encouragement. Are y'all with me tonight? I'm having a good time with this. I'm encouraging myself. I don't know about y'all. Hello. The power of encouragement will do this. It will strengthen you. The power of encouragement will strengthen someone else. The power of encouragement will build you up and build others up. The power of encouragement will give confidence when it is needed. The power of encouragement will help you keep keeping on when you are about to give up or give in. The power of encouragement will help you emotionally, physically, mentally, more than anything, it will help you spiritually. Do you remember when Moses was still alive and Joshua was down in the valley and he was fighting and Moses had his arms lifted up, and as long as Moses had his arms lifted up, they were able to win the battle. But when Moses got a little weary and he began to let his arms down, then they began to lose the battle until two men named Aaron and Hur came and put a rock under him and set Moses on the rock, and then they held his arms up, and as long as they held his arms up, they won the battle. Can you say amen? What was going on? They were encouraging him to keep praying. They were encouraging him by coming alongside. Can you say amen? Can I tell you, there's tremendous power when we encourage one another. Sometimes we just need somebody to come along and help us to hold our arms up a little bit. Sometimes we need some folks to come along and help us to pray a little bit more. Sometimes we need somebody to come along and put us back on a rock, and that rock is Jesus Christ. Sometimes we need somebody to come along instead of bringing something critical or negative to give us an encouraging word in the Word of God. Can you say amen? It will help you emotionally, physically, mentally, more than anything, spiritually. Encouragement, the power of encouragement will undo and defeat and overcome the power of discouragement. The power of encouragement will take you from an attitude of I can't to an attitude of I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The power of encouragement will help you to step out in greater faith than you ever thought possible in order that you can do greater works for the kingdom of God that you could never even imagine. The power of encouragement will motivate you to draw closer to God and trust more in Him and do more for Him. The power of encouragement will strengthen you in your walk with the Lord. The power of encouragement will help you do things you never thought you could. The power of encouragement will help you increase your faith to believe God for greater things, even the impossible. How crazy it must have been. Could you imagine the fellow soldiers when Joshua looks up at the sun and says, "Sun, stand still. Moon, you hold back." And the fellow soldiers kind of said, "Man, what is wrong with him? He's been smoking some wacky weed or something somewhere." No, that man has been encouraged. He's got a faith in God. He's got adrenaline flowing. He's got a faith going. He has been encouraged, can I tell you? He was able to believe God for the impossible. Can you say amen? The power of encouragement. Who are we to encourage? Who are we to encourage? We are to encourage others. Can you say amen? Romans chapter 14, verse 19. Therefore let us, say us, pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. Think about this. When the gifts of the Holy Spirit, this is a Pentecostal church, when the gifts of the Holy Spirit are used in the right way within the body of Christ, what is the purpose of that? To edify the what? The body. To encourage the body. Yes. One of the most powerful gifts God has ever, other than salvation, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, tongues, interpretation, prophecy, is used to help encourage and strengthen the body, to edify, to build up the body of Christ. Can you say amen? To build us up, to draw us closer to the Lord. We are to encourage others. That word edify means to build up, to strengthen, to confirm, in a sense, to encourage. William Arthur Ward made this statement: "Flatter me and I may not believe you. Criticize me and I may not like you. Ignore me and I may not forgive you. Encourage me and I will not forget you." Can you say amen? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11, Paul sent young Timothy to the church of Thessalonica to encourage them. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11 says, "Therefore comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing." Comfort, to call near, to encourage, to edify, to build up, to strengthen one another. How do we encourage one another? By our actions, by a smile, by a kind gesture, by a hug, by a warm handshake, by the pat on the back, by helping out, by a listening ear. How do we encourage one another? Through prayer. letting others know that you are praying, and then actually praying with them and for them. Can you say amen? How do we encourage one another? With our words and with our speech. The scripture says, I believe it's in Proverbs, that a good word spoken at the right time is better than apples of silver in a golden platter. A good word spoken at the right time can mean, you know, life and death are in the power of the tongue, church. And too many times I think we use this tongue to do the wrong thing, but my gosh, as a body of Christ, notice something. Moses had the Spirit of God, is that right? Eleazar, the priest, had the Spirit. Joshua had the Spirit. Do you notice how much, and we gave a little reference to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Do you notice how much the Spirit isn't tied in with encouragement? There's strength there. Can you say amen? And it's not just saying, oh, you're one. Now, I mean, if somebody don't look good, don't go say, you know, you look wonderful. You know, hello. I did something real mean to my mom one time. I love my mother. I love my mom. Victoria was a baby. She just been born. And so we were in Pensacola. That's where Victoria was born at. Went to the mall. Mom went with me. We was going to have our pictures made. That's when, before, young people, believe it or not, that was before iPhones. There was a day before iPhones. That was for pagers. That's for cell phones everywhere, I think, invented. But anyway, I went in one of them places in the mall. I had hair then. Yeah, Josh, I had hair then, man. Believe it or not, I did have hair. I got pictures. I can prove it. I had hair. But anyway, this girl came back to cut my hair, and her hair was purple and pink and about three other different shades I can't really know the color of, and it was pow. I said, oh, God. And mama came walking in. She'd been shopping. You know how them grandmamas are. She'd been shopping, and she comes in, she just... And so she's sitting there looking at me. I said, Mom, what do you think about her hair? The mama had the greatest answer. She said, you know, that is very unique. And she turned that thing around. How did you do that? What colors? How did you get all those different colors? And how did you get it to stand out like that? You know, she turned that thing around on me so quick. The mama was an encourager. Can you say amen? Then she told me, she said, you ever do something like that to me again? Amen. We are to encourage others. I don't know what that had to do with tonight's message, but we are to encourage others. In fact, we're going to talk about that at the end just a little bit more. Who else are we to encourage? We need to encourage ourselves. Sometimes we need encouragement, and nobody else seems like they want to help us. Seems like when the world's against us. Sometimes we need to learn to encourage ourselves. One of the greatest examples is David. He's got all these mighty men. He's on the run from Saul. He's been kicked back from the Philistines and whom he had been serving. And him and his mighty men go back to Ziklag, and they find that all their families have been kidnapped and their cities burned and their possessions stolen. And all these guys that came to him in the wilderness then turn on David, and they want to kill him. He didn't ask one of them to come. They just joined him. But David did something. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6 says, now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Church, sometimes we've got to learn to strengthen ourselves in the Lord our God. When you're not getting any encouragement from somebody else, you can strengthen yourself in the Lord. Can you say amen? By praying, by seeking God, by remembering all the good things. Like Nehemiah says, when you look at your problems, when you look at your situation, don't think about your problems. Don't look how big your situation. Think about how great and awesome God has been doing in your life. Can you say amen? Think about how God has brought you through, standing on the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 through 20 says this: don't be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody says, well, if you talk to yourself, you're weird, but that's all right. The Bible says we can do that. As long as we do it in the right way, speaking to ourselves in songs, hymns, and spiritual songs, speaking the Word of God. Many times when I'm praying, I am praying the Word of God. Many times when we're singing, you can worship the Lord in your heart. Can you say amen? And I want you to understand something. When you begin to focus on those things, when you begin to pray, and when you begin to thank God for all the good things, can I tell you, your situation, your thinking, your discouragement can begin to break loose. Can you say amen? Just kind of like what we were talking about this morning when we were talking about praying, when Nehemiah said we prayed and sought the Lord. When we talked about the early church praying and seeking the Lord when opposition came. When we talked about Paul and Silas in that dungeon after they had been beat, when they prayed and sang hymns to God. And the Bible says their prayer shook the place where they were sitting. Prayer can change things about our situation and can take us from a platform of discouragement to a platform of encouragement. Can you say amen? We can encourage ourselves in the Lord by focusing on the goodness of the Lord. Keep in mind, you remember what I told you about the power of the Holy Ghost? The power of the Holy Ghost, Jude chapter 1, verse 20. But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. One of the greatest advantages that we as Pentecostal believers have is praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in tongues. That's what that means. Somebody says, well, that means it's just praying No, that means praying in the Holy Spirit, praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in tongues. That's exactly what it means. You build up yourselves on your most holy faith. You know, in Corinthians, I believe it's chapters 12 through 14, it talks about he who talks in tongues edifies himself. You know, that's not a bad thing. In fact, here, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Jude says we can build up ourselves on our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. In your time of prayer, you say, well, I really don't know how to pray about some things. Guess what? That's okay, because the Holy Spirit prays through us and for us with groanings which can't be uttered. Can you say amen? He prays according to the direct will of God. In our first church, some of these dear saints of God who knew more about the Bible than I ever thought about, they asked me a question on a Wednesday night. Man, we had a mega church, and really on Wednesday night it was outstanding. We probably have 8 or 9 people, and that's 5 of our family. They said, Pastor Doss, when we pray in the Spirit, when we pray in tongues, can Satan understand us? I said, you know, I'm not sure. And so that week, I put in to study that. And as I was studying and as I was praying, I found this out. Whether he can or can't understand us is neither here nor there, but he can't stop it. Amen. And he can't stop the results of it. Can you say amen? Because it is a benefit for Pentecostal believers, and it's a benefit for all who will be filled with the Holy Ghost. Beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. We find encouragement in the Word of God. Again, reading and quoting the Scriptures and praying the Scriptures. Encouragement, whether for us or from us, will release us or others to walk in a place with God we never thought possible. Closing tonight, as I was thinking about this, the Lord laid another verse on my heart and in my spirit. And as we think about the power of encouragement, and as we think about encouraging others, and as we think about encouraging ourselves, and for whatever reason, I've never really seen this connection. And so many times you'll know what this scripture is in just a minute. Well, you'll see what we're talking about when we get to talking about finances. When we apply this scripture to finances. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 through 8. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Now, just about all the time, we think about finances, money, and possessions. But a couple of verses before this, it talks about the gift that came from a church, or the gift that came from an individual. And I believe the Lord showed me that all the money in the world wouldn't have helped Joshua enter into the promised land. Amen. All the money in the world wouldn't have helped him overcome the oppositions and reach the places that he needed to reach. But he received the gift of encouragement. What about if we sowed encouragement into the lives of others? What about if we made it a point to sow the gift of encouragement? If we gave the gift of encouragement to others? Boy, people can, it's easy to be negative. That's just a work of the flesh. But it's hard to be spiritual and given and not be able to truly give encouragement. What about if we sowed encouragement in the lives of others? The Bible says, you tell me, what do you think tonight? He who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, but he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. If we sow encouragement sparingly, guess what? I believe we will reap encouragement sparingly. But if we sow encouragement bountifully, we will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Oh, Joshua had an abundance. Can you say amen? With everything that he had. Why? Because somebody sowed bountifully in encouragement to him. One thing I've learned, in times of discouragement, one of the greatest ways to defeat discouragement in my life is to learn to look past my discouragement and learn to encourage someone else. Can you say amen? Not just with our finances, but what about, again, the powerful gift of encouragement? Could we sow encouragement into the lives of those we come into contact with? I believe if we do, we will reap the same. Someone will come along and encourage us in our time of need or distress, or our time when a task is waiting before us. I want to challenge us this week. I want to challenge us this week. Lord, help me be an encourager. And I'm not saying a false, but when you see something, somebody that does something good, encourage them. Jesus said that even a cup of what? Cold water given in his name, you shall not lose your reward. But when you give a word of encouragement, you're speaking life. When you're giving a word of encouragement, especially with the heart of Christ and the Lord working in and through your life, you never know what that word of encouragement will do for that individual that you will give it to. Can you say amen? Encourage somebody this week. Again, one of the side benefits as we encourage others is that we defeat discouragement within our own lives. Tonight, I believe the Lord just had everything worked out this morning and tonight. Because this morning we talked about defeating this discouragement. And tonight we're talking about the power of encouragement. And the Lord laid on my heart this morning that there were people that had held on to discouragement for a long time. And they just need to lay it on the altar, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. And whether everybody did or not, I hope so. I really hope so. But perhaps somebody may not have this morning, but this afternoon God's been dealing with you. Say, I wish I had one more opportunity. We talked about people walking up to us after the service and praying. We had people do that this morning, and that's great. But one of the awesome things about the Lord is this. When you lay something down that doesn't need to be in your life, He wants to take something, place something that does need to be in your life. And it's a whole lot better. When you lay that discouragement down, He wants to fill your life with encouragement, with joy and peace and strength. And tonight we want to have an altar call. And this morning, tonight, if you just said, and you might be here tonight, you wasn't here this morning. You said, Brother Dawson, I've got some discouragement in my life from different things. God can move and deliver you from that discouragement. You just got to lay it down and leave it there. But God, also pray, God, I need your encouragement. He's no respecter of persons. If He encouraged Joshua, He wants to encourage you. I know I get a little excited, but I want to tell you, it's just because I know what God can and desires to do. And when we just let down our guard and say, God, have your way, can you say amen? There's no telling what He can and will do if we'll just say yes, Lord. So tonight, as we stand, there's one more part of this altar call is this. That we come and say, Lord, I want to be an encourager. And I believe for some of you, God's already put somebody in your heart and on your mind that He wants you to encourage. God, help me not to use my words, but help me to operate in the power and the anointing of your Holy Spirit to edify, to build something up, to build someone up. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Let's speak life through encouragement. Can you say amen? Father,